In your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and shall not lie, though it tarry. Wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him and a taunting proverb against him and say, Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee. Because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image, that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe to him that saith to the wood, Awake, and to the dumb stone, Arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So, if you remember the first chapter, we had three different speeches, a conversation. Habakkuk begins, the Lord answers, then Habakkuk speaks again. Now Habakkuk in chapter 2 begins with what? Well, I'm going to be quiet now and see what the Lord will answer. Right? I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved, that is, when the Lord speaks back again to me from my complaint. What's the Lord going to tell me? I'm ready to hear it. And so the readiness of the prophet to hear even a difficult word from the Lord, we want to stop and take notice of as a good example. It's a good example from Habakkuk that he knows that he's about to hear something that is going to be unpleasant, and yet he places himself on the wall, on the watch, and says, I'm ready to hear what God will say to me. This is good. It's a good example. And notice also that it goes on. It's not just Habakkuk, but it is for everyone. Listen to what it says. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak it and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Now, we recognize that verse 4 there, don't we? The just shall live by his faith. The Apostle Paul makes use of that in the New Testament to teach the doctrine of gratuitous righteousness. Right? Righteousness as a gift from God. That it is faith that is the foundation of that justice or that righteousness that comes to the people of God. And so notice this is not, although the context sounds off to us, it really is not. Listen to what is being said. Habakkuk said, I'm going to wait until I hear the Lord answer me. And the Lord says, I'm going to answer. Now, it may seem that the vision is a long way off. It may seem that I'm waiting in my answer. Will you abide in faith toward me? Even though the answer seems a long way off. Even though it seems like it's an answer that may come sooner, but it's for something that is a long way off. Will you believe? Will you receive it in faith? Will you rest upon me with these questions that you have? Will you rest upon me? And the Apostle Paul then will take that same principle and he will only strengthen it to say what? That when the Lord speaks, will we believe him? Will we have that faith that issues forth in justification? The just shall live by his faith. And so, what do we have here in Habakkuk 2:4? We have the culmination of this revelatory process. And what does faith mean in Habakkuk 2:4? The context of it is very clear. Will you wait upon the word of God? Will you hear what God has said? And will you place your life, the disposition of your eternal soul? Will you place all of your confidence in what God has said, or will you walk by some other paradigm, like sight or whatever? And the answer of the prophet here and the interpretation of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament is that those who are just, those who are declared righteous, have been declared righteous because they have that kind of saving faith, where they rest upon the Lord and what he has said, no matter what. No matter what. I mean, he's had some pretty strong questions, hasn't he? Are you really going to use an unrighteous people against the righteous nation? Are you really going to use someone who will then sacrifice to his net and to his drag? Is that really what you're going to do, Lord? Well, I'll stand upon my watch and see what the Lord will tell me. And the Lord says, the vision is coming. And when it comes, you believe it. And Habakkuk responds with, the just shall live by his faith. So now we come to verse 5. And in verse 5, the Lord is speaking here. He turns his attention on the king of Babylon. He is proud. He transgresseth by wine. He does not keep it at home. He enlargeth his desire as hell and is as death. He cannot be satisfied. He gathereth to him all nations and he heapeth up unto him all people. Verse 5 talks about the insatiable covetousness of the Babylonian Empire. It's insatiable. Now notice in verse 6 that there will be a taunting proverb against him, right? Woe unto him that increaseth that which is not his. In other words, it will be against nature even that Babylon rises up. And the people that are conquered, the people that are bested, they say, come on, even this is too much. We recognize this. This has gone too far, Nebuchadnezzar. This is a covetousness that is beyond bounds. This is not mere regal imperialism. This is a desire to rule the world as a god. And it's true. That's what Nebuchadnezzar did. And he's being called out for it here in Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them. Not little, you know, knitted booties, but thou shalt be as the spoil, like in the next, you know, like the pirate's booty. That kind of booty, right? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood and for the violence of the land. And so verses 6, 7, and 8, or the second half of 6, 7, and 8, are this taunting proverb that is raised up against Babylon. Then the Lord joins in that. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high and delivered and be delivered from the power of evil, and so on. The Lord says to him, you're going to build up this house on top of the mountain and you're going to think you're safe in it. Then notice what he says in verse 11. The stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. You hear the irony of the Lord in that? Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to raise up a palace unto yourself. It's going to be the representation of all of the conquering that you've done in the world. And you think you're going to be safe in your own house. But really what's going to happen is the stone shall cry out of the wall and the beam out of the timber where it was cut and say, woe to him that builds up this bloody city. And so what irony is there? And so what is the Lord doing in all of this? Let's raise up. The Lord is telling Habakkuk, this is how great the wickedness of my people is, that at this point in their history, I will raise up a nation like this. I'm not unaware of their sinfulness, Habakkuk. I know who they are. I know why I'm using them. Can you not, Habakkuk, see the great wickedness of the people of Judah that they should require such a nation as this to devour them? So the Lord is, in essence, telling his prophet, I know what I'm doing here. I know how wicked the Chaldeans are. I know they sacrifice to their net. I know they build up with rapacious covetousness. I know what they will do. And I know also what you need, house of Judah. I know what you need. And so, woe to him that buildeth the town with blood, and so on. And then verses 15 and 16, notice that some of those, some of that conquering that comes from the Babylonians will be by drawing people into sin with them. You give his, you know, woe to him that giveth his neighbor drink, that make him drunken, that they may look on their nakedness. In other words, through favor, through indulgence, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, will lay a snare for many of those nations that he conquers. And then in that, let thy foreskin be uncovered, really what that is a reference to is behave yourself as the uncircumcised. Go ahead, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. Behave yourself as the uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. All of your indulgence is going to do what? It's going to be like someone that overindulges. And up it comes. And it will defile everything it touches. All right, so then we come to a passage in verses 18 and 19 that had been used, I think quite rightly, by our reforming fathers as they came out of the Babylonish church, right? As they came out of Rome, who had multiplied idols. And why did they say they needed idols? The idols are, what did they say? The books of the unlearned. Remember that? You'll find that in Calvin's writings. The idols are the books of the unlearned. People that don't know how to read will profit from graven images and pictures of the deity and so on. Listen to what the prophet says. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Obviously, there's high irony there, right? Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver. There's no breath at all, no breath at all in the midst of it. And then in contrast to that, verse 20, the Lord is in his holy temple. He's not where you're going to draw him or depict him. He's in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Stop then with the objections. Stop then with the arguing. Stop then with speaking to me like this Habakkuk and telling me I don't know what I'm doing. I do. Stop. Stop, Nebuchadnezzar. Stop erecting your idols and cursing the God of heaven, although he brings you low. I know what I'm doing. And so when we move on, Lord willing, to chapter 3, notice we have the prophet answering again. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth, Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. And so this is a dialogue all the way through here. You hear it? First the prophet speaks, then the Lord, then the prophet, then the Lord, and then the prophet will speak once again. With that then, let's stand and continue.